We don't particularly have anything against people of other nominations. The main thing is that we believe that salvation is by grace, and that's the big difference between us and other groups. We don't believe that salvation is by baptism or it's by anything that you do, any type of work or anything you do, but it's by the grace of God. It's simply of the Lord brings it. The Lord enables you to repent of your sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Lord keeps you, and He consummates or completes your salvation. And so we stand on what we believe according to the authority of God's Word. And a lot of good people have good intentions that are in other groups. But we just believe they're wrong when it comes to what the Bible teaches about salvation and things that are very important about where a person's going to spend eternity. And so this is, I think, goes without saying. The Apostle Peter, it was interesting that everybody that's ever been saved has been saved the same way. We could go around here tonight and let different ones talk and tell their experience of salvation, and we'll find that it all came about by hearing the preaching of the gospel, and then Holy Spirit conviction, and I preached on last Sunday, and God working in that person, bringing them to the place of repentance and faith. That's the way all of us have been saved, every one of us. And then the same thing is true with the Lord's church. It's by hearing the truth and being led by the Holy Spirit and placed or added. And I think that, or being set. The Lord sets people in the body as it pleases Him. He adds them. There's an important difference in just, you know, joining a church, as some people say they do, or just that's a place where we'd like to go or like to be. There's a tremendous difference in that and the Lord adding you, or the Lord setting you in that body. I believe these are truths that Baptists hold dear and that are many times misunderstood among Baptist churches. And even in churches that teach and preach this, you know, you can teach and preach for years and making people sit under your ministry for 17 or 18 years and still not hear a thing you say or a thing that's taught or preached. And of course, that's dependent upon the Holy Spirit taking that and applying it to their hearts and to their lives. I said all that for more or less of an introduction to the subject matter at hand that's here in 1 Peter chapter 1 is concerning our salvation. It's interesting when we see that the Apostle Peter believed this great truth, the Apostle Paul believed this great truth, all the apostles believed this truth. This is the truth that Jesus himself preached during his public ministry. And it is the truth that we still today as New Testament Baptists preach and practice. Now, there are several things that are said here, and first of all, there is to whom the letter is written, and then there's the order of salvation. He gives the order of salvation. Now, sometimes we forget about that God is a God of order. God is a God of purpose and plan. God is not a God of confusion. And I think he makes this very clear in the Word of God. And everything that God does is according to his order or to his purpose and his plan. It's not no haphazardly brought together something, you know, all of a sudden. He begins to address, and I believe that as he is writing to these Jews or these Jewish people here that have been dispersed, and they're into five different provinces that we see them, and he mentions these places from where he's or to who he's talking that have been scattered. In verse 1, he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Here's five provinces that these people have been dispersed into, or that they have been scattered to, and so he is preaching to them. It is good that not only can we read what Peter wrote to these, but also realize that he is also talking or preaching to us, or this word here is to each of us today that are saved by the grace of God. Now, I reckon if we would perhaps put a title on this, we would call it Full Salvation. Full Salvation. You might could say complete salvation. Or we like to say a full salvation. Now, there is an order to our salvation. And it is not an order to our choosing, but it is an order that God has designed for our salvation. I hear a lot about this choice thing, and I realize there are decisions that people make and there are choices that people make. I fully recognize and I fully realize that, but many times today more emphasis is put up on man's choice than God's choice, and man's order than God's order. Now, in this full salvation here, we have, I believe, the order that God has for a full salvation. Now, if you'll notice with me, he gives this to us here in verse 2. This order is given to us. Now look, and we'll find it not only here, but we'll find it other places in the Word of God. It's the same order. The order doesn't change. In other words, Peter didn't preach an order of salvation different from anybody else. Paul preached the same order. Jesus Christ preached the same order. All you have to do is read as he preached in the 6th chapter of the book of John, and you'll see that the order of salvation was the same. Now here is the order of a full salvation found in verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. God's order always and is and begins with foreknowledge. It's always foreknowledge. Now, we're talking about the foreknowledge of God. We're not talking about foreknowledge that man has. But we're talking about the foreknowledge of God. God does everything according to his foreknowledge. And our full salvation that we have today as those that have been saved by the grace of God is according to God's order, and that begins with a foreknowledge. That is, known and loved by God before creation. Even before anything ever existed. Known in love by God. Foreknown or foreknowledge. I believe, and it would do good, and it's always a blessing to see how the Scriptures, you know, go together, and these different men said it in a different way. It's always refreshing to me to hear someone come and preach, and that we have in a revival meeting or special preachers at different times, and it's always refreshing to me. They don't preach a different gospel, and they don't preach a different salvation, and they don't preach a different order. They may just have a different way of giving it to you or a different way of saying it, but it all comes out the same order. Now, if you'll notice with me in the book of Romans chapter 8, and notice this order was the same that the Apostle Paul preached there in verse 29 through 30. And notice how that it begins out here, and Paul is giving the order of God in a full salvation. He said, for whom he did foreknow. Now this is the same order that we have here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Because he says in verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And Paul said it here in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow. And so there is the same order that is known in love by God before creation. I sometimes begin to wonder if some people today that call themselves Baptists believe that God knows anything. I really do. And especially, when did he find it out? If he knows anything, when did he come to any knowledge of anything? When did he? Now, you think with me. You listen to some of the statements sometimes that people make pertaining to God and pertaining to salvation, and you really wonder what God they're talking about if you know the God of foreknowledge. Now, the order here of full salvation is foreknowledge, that is, known in love by God before creation. You can go on and see this order is given by the Apostle Paul here in verse 29 and verse 30. But now going back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, he also says then, elect. In other words, there is a chosen by God on the basis of this love that God has for these people. And the basis of being elect, or the basis of being chosen, is the love of God and God's love. There's the basis of it. And I believe that we see when the Apostle Paul, he said it in the book of Ephesians, and there in chapter 1 and in verse 4 of Ephesians 1, listen to what he said. He said, according as he hath chosen us in him, that is, God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. And then he goes on and talks about, in verse 5, the same thing that he said in Romans 8, 29 and 30. So God's order in salvation, for a full salvation, it always begins with God. It begins with foreknowledge, and it begins with being chosen by God. But then you'll see that he keeps and maintains the same order here in 1 Peter 1, 2. And he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit. That is, being set apart by the Holy Spirit, the new birth. Little did Brother Hester or I or anybody else know that we were foreknown of God. Little did we know we were chosen of God. But we did know when God began to set us apart by sanctification of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit began to work and to deal with us and to work in our lives, setting us apart by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said when he said in 2 Thessalonians, and therein chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, and in verse 13 and verse 14, he said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Now here's the motive, and here's the basis of everything. Love of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now he chose us to save us. We were chosen to salvation. And that must be clearly understood. Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And so this is the order of a full salvation. Foreknown by God in love, chosen in Christ, and then sanctified by the Holy Spirit, or set apart by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. And he went on and said, for unto he called you by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God always works according to his order. He never deviates from this order any time that anybody has ever saved. He doesn't deviate from it. But he sticks right exactly with the order that he has and with the plan that he has. But then you'll see that he says here, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now the blood here is redemption from sins by the blood of Christ. That is applying the blood of Jesus Christ as an atonement for our sins. That's the way God does it. There is never anyone saved by any other means other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being applied to them for the atonement of their sins. There's not any salvation any other way. Now, there's a lot of other ways that are taught. Men have devised. It began right in the Garden of Eden. And it began right there with Abel and with Cain. It began right there at the very beginning of man trying to devise another means whereby that he could have a redemption or he could have a salvation. But God designed it, or according to God's order, it was going to be by the blood, the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says in this. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we see that this is the way that God has designed for salvation. I thought about the Apostle John and what he said there in this familiar verse of Scripture in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. And listen to what John says. He says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Notice this. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So God has an order to salvation. And this is exactly how that we have a full salvation. And there is not a full salvation apart from this. So then he talks about this order. Now he goes on and he talks about what that we have in this full salvation. There's a real blessing tonight to being saved and having a complete or a full salvation that God has not only ordered and designed, but that God has applied to you as a sinner that has been saved by the grace of God. There is great benefits and great privileges. Now look, and he goes on and explains and talks about this in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope," or we could say a living hope, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Saved people are actually begotten of God, and we have a living hope. And the reason that we have a living hope is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I thought about the Apostle Paul when he was teaching, and many times when he taught truths, whether it was at the church at Corinth, whether it was the churches of Galatia, or whether it was the church of Thessalonica, he taught great truths to the church because that there were some people that had come along and were denying the truths of God's Word, and so he would have to come along because of these false teachers, and he'd have to teach the truth on this matter. I thought about what the Apostle Paul, when he was with the Corinthian church, and he said there in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 15, he went through a quite lengthy thing talking about by the grace of God and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He talked about two resurrections, and he talked about the predicament we'd be in if there was no resurrection, as some say. There were some religious groups of that day taught that there was no resurrection. He said, well, our faith would be vain, our preaching would be in vain, and everything, we would die and there would be no hope. And he goes on now, and I believe he carries out exactly what the Apostle Peter said. And he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And he gets right down into the middle, almost the middle of this chapter, and he makes this wonderful statement in verse 20. He says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that sleep." Brethren, it's a blessing to be saved by the grace of God. But it's a blessing also to know that if you die, you're going to be resurrected. It's also a blessing to know that if you're alive when the Lord comes, you're going to be translated. And there's many blessings, I believe, that comes to those that have been begotten of God or that are actually saved by the grace of God. But that's not the only benefit. Now, that's a wonderful benefit. I thought about the resurrection. What a wonderful proof that it is. But then, you know, here's another wonderful thing. Now, man is geared to wanting some kind of security, wanting to have some hope or some kind of security or something that he can look at and say, now this is mine and this is going to take care of me in my old age, which there is no security like that whatsoever. I mean, we've been hoodwinked into thinking that somewhere or other. But and so, you know, we try to lay up treasures and lay up goods and things to take care of us in our old age. And I think there's a good thing about being conservative and doing what I believe, that being a good steward. I believe that's worthy, trustworthy to do that. But you know and I know that in this life and in this world, there isn't any sure thing. And there isn't even any security in these things. But now look at the benefit of being saved. Not only is there the blessing of the resurrection if we die, but then you'll notice, and look what it says now in this, begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, comma. Not period, it's comma. Two. Now, it's to something that is for those that have been saved by the grace of God. To an inheritance. Somebody said, I don't have an inheritance. Yes, if you're saved, you do. I have an inheritance, and you have an inheritance. We all have an inheritance. This is what he's talking about here in this passage of Scripture. We have an inheritance. Now, you know, you can save and have materials and things like this and securities and bonds and all this. And you know, you can be sick for a while and all of that can vanish. It can be gone. I mean, totally wiped out, totally gone. Any inheritance that anybody has, your family for them, it's gone. I mean, and there's no way that you can guarantee an inheritance here in this life to anybody or to any person, because it can always be wiped out or it can be gone. Not so to those that are saved by the grace of God. Because look at this benefit, to an inheritance, and this is the reason it's incorruptible, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So saved people have an inheritance reserved in heaven. What greater blessing is it to know that if we die, and I know we all like to hold on to life, and it's just natural. It's a natural trend of tendency. We want to live as long as God will permit us to live. I mean, we have that desire to hold on to life, and the Lord has to change that, and He does when it comes time for that. But here we find that not only the blessing of a resurrection, but to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, there's anything wrong with it, never has been, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Nothing can happen to it. It's there. It is just as sure as this order of salvation. The order of salvation is foreknowledge, chosen, sanctified, and the blood redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the full salvation is the resurrection and inheritance reserved in heaven for us. That's as much a part of our salvation as any other part that God has for us. But then, that's not the only blessing. My, this book, this chapter is just jammed full of blessings. And look at this next verse, verse 5. Who are kept. And I underline kept here. Who are kept. Didn't say you might be kept. Now, and the who is referring to verse 2, the first word in verse 2. You can underline the first word in verse 2, and you can underline kept in verse 5 and who, and it's talking about the same people. The same ones. It is a it's a job that God has done and completed to the fullest degree. He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be, now notice, ready to reveal that thing. Unto salvation. He said, I thought I'd say, no, we're talking about a full salvation. He said, unto salvation. And we know that is, of course, even from the being removed from even the presence of sin. And he will shall return without sin unto salvation. And so we see that we not only have an inheritance, but we are kept saved by the power of God through faith. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Now, have you ever tried to keep yourself saved? I don't want you to raise your hand now. But I mean, you know, there's a lot of people doing that. A lot of people really believe that they can keep themselves saved. And so we see, but they're the same ones that really don't believe that it's God that gives it to them to begin with. But we find here that we have been saved by the grace of God, and we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And brother, don't underestimate that through faith. The knowledge of full and eternal salvation is a wonderful blessing, and the saved are kept by the power of God through faith. In every circumstance and everything that comes in our life, it's that faith that God has enabled us to have and to exercise by His grace that brings us through every trial and everything in our life. Sometimes we get pretty low, don't we? We get, you know, but then faith takes over. Faith takes hold. The reason we get low is because we look at the flesh and we think with a fleshly mind, and then we think the same as the flesh, and then faith takes over. And so we're kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed at the last time. Now, the results of this is verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, here's how it is. And you all know this in reality. It's such a wonderful thing, and we could ask Brother Hester and others here, such a wonderful thing when you first come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's such a wonderful thing. But then is when many things begin to happen to you. But it's just as wonderful today, and I feel like Bill has to feel this way, it's just as wonderful today as it was from the day first day the Lord saved you. As a matter of fact, it may even be to a degree better because we know more about our salvation than when we first believed. We know more about it. We know more about the God that saves us. We know more about His grace. And we know more about the faith. And I feel a whole lot better about my salvation today than I did when the Lord first saved me. Because of what the Lord has taught me and brought me to the truth. But then, immediately, you begin to have the trials. What that is testing. And from the day you're saved till either the day you die, or the day that you're raptured, or the day you're translated, there's going to be a continual testing of your faith. Mm-hmm. It'll be from test to test. We're being tested today. All of us. In different ways, and to a certain degree, we're being tested. Some of us expensively, some it's financially, some it's other ways. But all of us, to a certain degree, are being tested. Our faith is being tested. Now look, and I believe that he brings this out here in this. The knowledge of full and eternal salvation does not cause us to go on in sin, but is a source of strength and joy, and we need that strength and joy while we endure the trials and the tribulations of this life. And we go from one trial and one tribulation to another. And brother, I tell you what, we need the joy of knowing that we're saved. And knowing that we're kept by the power of God through faith. Knowing that we have an inheritance. You know, sometimes it gets hard, but you know there is a better day. I'm not talking necessarily about here in this life, but I'm talking about in the life to come. I'm talking about in the things that God has provided for us in through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And these times come in the life of every person. These manifold temptations come and seems like that it gets us down, but then we're able to bounce right back and to rejoice because that we're saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
You can't keep a saved person down. Now, they may get down, but you can't keep them down. And the reason you can't is because the faith of God takes hold, and we rely and depend and hold on to the power of God in our lives. And we know that we have this great and eternal salvation. Now look, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, that is the testing of your faith. Immediately when God saves you, you'll begin to be tested. And you'll be tested every day of your life. And you'll never get to the place to where you're not tested. You'll grow some in the Lord. And you feel like the Lord, by His grace, has gotten you over this hump. And then the Lord allows to come right back in your life. Another testing. And many times what He's doing is preparing you for something else that is going to come in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It goes from faith to faith. Paul said that in the Roman church at Corinth, and from trial to trial, or from testing to testing. You say, Lordy me, I hope I've not wanted anything any more severe than I'm going through right now. Well, I don't know what God has in store for you, but I know that you have no guarantee. But what it does, every trial, it has an effect upon it. And it accomplishes what God wants to accomplish in you, and it's part of your salvation. It's part of the saving of your life. Now look, that the trial of your faith, now look at this, being much more precious than gold that perishes. Now do you look at it that way? I wish that we always could, don't you? I wish that we could. Though it be tried with fire. I mean, that is the trial of your faith. Though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and the honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The faith of the saved will be tried. And the trial of our faith will be precious. Why is it that when we are tested and we are tried, our faith is tested and tried, that after it's over, we're in a lot better shape than before it ever began? Because it accomplishes the purpose that God sent it for. That is to strengthen us and to enable us to see that we are totally dependent upon God and that we must trust Him and depend upon Him. And He just helps us to grow in the Lord. It would be very precious, or it would not be very precious, if it resulted in us losing our salvation. It wouldn't be very precious at all, but it is precious. And that's what He said. That the trial of your faith, and there's so many times, you know, you come to the place and you say, I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't know what I can do, and all it is, you're saved by the grace of God, and God is testing your faith. And I believe, and He's testing your faith to the point of making you stronger,
amen,
and helping you to grow, and helping you to become a full-grown person in the Lord, in the ways of the Lord, and to a mature. that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried in the fire, notice, might be found unto the praise and the honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's such a grand and glorious salvation that we have. So there's not only the saving of our souls, but there is the saving of our life. And there's the growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all this is designed by God. If I'd thought for a long time, all of us had thought for a long time, we could have never designed anything like this. But there's no way that we could have designed such a salvation that we have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ by God. And so, and what he does, and I believe that, you know, we talk a lot of times about the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should, the second coming, and how we long to see him, and how we rejoice in knowing we're saved. But look at verse 8. Look at this. Whom having not seen. Now there is going to be a time that he's going to appear, we're going to see him. And it's going to be a wonderful time. But look at it right now. Whom having not seen, you love. It seems almost impossible to love somebody you've never seen. That's not the way we operate. Said it was love at first sight. When I first saw him, I fell in love. But you always said when I first saw him. But here we have a love for someone that we've not seen. And this is the way that God has designed it to be. Yet, believing. Though now you see him not, yet believing. People say, I'll believe it if I see it. Why do you believe and you've not seen him? Now how did this come about? Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I tell you, if the Lord can lay the truths that are down from verse 2 down through verse 8 upon your heart, and the Holy Spirit can enable you to see these truths about the full salvation that God has designed for those that He saved, and the order of it, and all the transpires and the blessings of being saved, it is impossible not to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so I'm so thankful for this great and this full salvation. Now that's not all there is in this chapter. There's a lot. That's what I want to say to you tonight. No wonder that through the times of trial and heartache and tribulation and trial, we can sing and pray and trust the Lord and rejoice. You know why you can't? God has designed it to be so. God has ordered it to be so. This is not just some haphazard thing that has been thrown together or that comes upon us. But it is God's design, and I'm thankful that we are the recipients of this great truth, full salvation. You can't have anything any fuller than what you have happened from verse 2 to verse 8. That's it. That's all the way from eternity to eternity. It's all the way. And it begins with God and ends with God. And we're the recipients of the grace of God as we see in this. And so it ought to cause us tonight to rejoice and be so thankful. God so loves us. God ordered it to be for me and for you, and how we ought to rejoice in this.